Good morning. Welcome to the weekend edition with Barry White sitting in for Greg Hughes this weekend again. Coming up on the show, we have loads coming up today. We'll be talking to Bernard McDyer from the Blood Bike North West. They have been they're one of the sponsors of the Letterkenny 10K charity and walk race this year. The charity is a voluntary group of bikers offering an out-of-hours emergency service to the HSE in Donegal. We'll be talking to Bernard about the service and about the sponsor. Also in the show, we'll have Donna O'Connor, who'll be talking to us about her son Ryan, who's come closer to achieving his sporting dreams after he received a wheelchair from the Northern Ireland soccer manager Michael O'Neill. And music, we'll have Chanel McGuinness in studio. Good morning. First, we'll go through the newspapers this morning, though, and we'll begin with the Irish Times. In the front of the Irish Times today, a good picture of yesterday's partial solar eclipse. It's to show there's an aircraft actually crossing this picture. It's a partial solar eclipse. It was taken in Cork City. Unfortunately, here in Letterkenny, anyway, we didn't get the pictures we got yesterday weren't great. Although some listeners sent in some great pictures. I think there was one guy in Killygordon. There's one guy in Killygordon sent in a fantastic picture. He actually took it through a telescope. In the front of the Irish Times also, coalition accused of trying to buy election in tax move. The government has been accused of preparing to buy the next election as it steps up its efforts to have the European Commission's strict fiscal rules relaxed. In a clear sign of an escalating campaign, Enda Kenny raised the prospect of further tax cuts in October's budget on the back of a successful negotiation with the Commission on the issue. We go to page 2 of the Irish Times. Not a cloud in the sky for Ireland fans. Of course, Ireland plays Scotland in Edinburgh today. If they want to win the Six Nations, they'll have to win by 15 points. It also depends on how other results go as well. England play today, and Wales can also win the championship if results go their way. Also in the Irish Times, more on yesterday's solar eclipse. Pictures of people with their 3D glasses and more pictures that were sent in to the newspaper. Also in the Irish Times, a story we covered here yesterday, former Minister John Perry defends employing his wife. The former Minister of State John Perry has defended appointing his wife to the position of his parliamentary assistant, and he said she will step down within the next month. Perry, a Fine Gael TD for Sligo and North Leitrim, issued a statement yesterday defending the appointment a day after Taoiseach Enda Kenny said it was unwise of TDs and senators to employ family members. Mr Perry, who lost his job as Minister of State for Small Business in a reshuffle last July, said his wife Marie Mulvey took the €38,000 per year rule after his previous assistant decided to pursue a new career. We'll just go through also in the Irish Times more on the Graham Dwyer trial. I suppose that'll be in the front of all the tabloids as well. It's a regular occurrence on a Saturday morning now when we go through the papers. Graham Dwyer trial takes up most of the pages. Also in the Times, I'm just looking through, not much more really to talk about, not much. We'll go through to, we'll just grab the Irish Daily Mail. Front of the Daily Mail, Graham Dwyer trial. It's now up to the jury. Prosecution says Dwyer is a sadistic and brutal pervert who had nothing on his mind but murder. Defence say there's no evidence of murder and being repellent isn't a crime. The judge will sum up, but it's now all up to the jury. Also in the Daily Mail, Ryanair's US flight PR mess. It was St Patrick's fault. St Patrick's Day can go to many people's heads, and it appears to have happened at Ryanair. The airline had to retract a statement issued earlier in the week about plans for transatlantic flights, and it has blamed the time lag in spotting the error on the timing of St Patrick's Day. I've actually seen a lot of people sharing the social media about Ryanair's plans for transatlantic flights, fly to America for £10. I was thinking it was a bit far-fetched, but it says here, Ryanair's US flight PR mess. Just read through the story. After media queries seeking clarification on the fares, Ryanair issued this statement. The board of Ryanair, like any PLC, has approved the business plans for future growth, including transatlantic. But this statement was then retracted 4 days later because St Patrick's Day falling in the middle led to delays. A source close to the company last night described the statement as unfortunate. Also in the Daily Mail, Zayn is home to mend hearts, but Niall is still the joker in the pack. One Direction taking over the newspapers in the last few days. Zayn, I'll have to search for a surname. Zayn Malik from One Direction. He's apparently, his relationship with his girlfriend Perry Edwards is on the rocks. As his bandmates flew home to rescue, as Zayn Malik flew home from One Direction, Niall Horan couldn't help but play the joker. The Mullingar singer looked to lighten up the mood around Zayn Malik's temporary departure from the group's tour by dressing up as a twee old Irishman, complete with flat cap and receding hairline. Wearing a wig and glasses, Horan could be seen putting on a strong Midlands accent, saying, "Jesus Christ, don't be hitting the Schleuter against the wall." Actually seen that video yesterday. It is actually quite funny. Also in the Daily Mail, more on the Graham Dwyer trial. It takes up pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pages. Also in the Daily Mail, Clarkson's departure would cost the BBC tens of millions. Jeremy Clarkson, that story's been ongoing now for well over a week. The BBC is set to lose the equivalent of €90 million a year if Top Gear presenter Jeremy Clarkson is sacked over claims he punched an Irish producer. The BBC's commercial arm rakes in an estimated €50 million a year from selling the rights to Top Gear abroad, with the show watched in 214 countries around the world. I've seen quotes of Clarkson this week saying he's been sacked, but there's nothing to prove that. There's been no decision made yet, and I'll be very surprised if he's sacked. The show gets too many viewers, and he's probably... the amount of things he's got away with in the past, I can't see no reason why he won't get away with this either. We'll move on to the tabloids. We'll get the Irish Sun. Disgusting, repellent, innocent. Huge gap in the evidence, jury told, in the Graham Dwyer trial. Graham Dwyer may be disgusting and repellent, but that does not mean he killed Elaine O'Hara, his lawyer said yesterday. Remy Farrell insisted the evidence against his client was largely circumstantial. Also inside the Irish Sun, Corrie on Dock Street, chaos as chess bug hits its stars and crew. And then you go on into the Sun, more on that Graham Dwyer trial. Cast a cold and rational eye over the evidence. You need to do it in a way that the Gardaí is, in this case, didn't. That was the defence of Graham Dwyer yesterday. More on One Direction, Brittle Mix, Stress, Zayn jets home for powwow, 4-hour chat, and then Perry, that's his fiancée, is off in a car. So as we see, his relationship's in the rocks. Also, a big fuss over Russ. Screen legend Russell Crowe takes time out to pose with fans and sign autographs before his star turn at the Dublin Film Festival. The newbie director, who's 50, was in town for a Savoy showing of The Water Diviner, his epic about a farmer tracing his sons in World War One. Russell Crowe was also on The Late Late Show last night. I didn't see it. Did anybody see it? What did you make of him? I've seen a few people making comments on Twitter. Some people saying that they tell the audience were clapping along when he was singing, and I think he told them to stop because they were clapping out of tune. I think I read that somewhere. I may be wrong though. I didn't see The Late Late Show. Also in the Irish Sun, 50 Shapes of Grey. Irish eclipse fans enjoy solar event. Irish astronomy fans were nearly disappointed after a cloudy start to the eclipse. However, the heavens soon parted to broadcast the deep partial eclipse across the country. I don't think the heavens opened here though. It must have been down south, or I think the southwest of the country was the best place to see the eclipse. I remember actually the eclipse in 1999 too. I remember missing that too. I was out playing golf at the time. I think it was only about 13 or 14, but that was also a cloudy day. So two eclipses that I've seen have been ruined by the weather here. Also, one last lap before I get the sack. Jeremy Clarkson is hoping to do one last show before he gets the sack. But as we were highlighting there's no guarantee that he will be sacked yet, even though he says he is going to get the sack. Also in the Sun, George is off the hook. Top pundit George Hook calls time on his legendary TV career today as Ireland bid for Six Nations glory. The veteran presenter lines out for the final time this afternoon when the boys in green play Scotland in Murrayfield. Hook, who is 73, insists he has no intention of watching the RTE panel discussion from the comforts of his home post-retirement. The right hook star has enjoyed his time with the state broadcaster, but is looking forward to a new chapter in his life. We'll go on to, is it the Daily Star? We've looked through most of the papers now. The Daily Star and the Mirror to go through. The Irish Daily Star, I think you can guess what the front of the Irish Daily Star is. Dwyer may not be nice, but he's no killer. That was his defence said yesterday. And you go on in, more of the same, the Graham Dwyer trial, but you go on in further to the Irish Daily Star. It's Strap Gear, Clarkson and Foulmouth outburst at BBC bosses. Then you go on through the paper, there's more on the Dwyer trial, more pages 6 and 7 also in the Dwyer trial. And then pages 8 and 9, it's more about Zayn from One Direction. It's all a similar theme in the tabloids today. One Direction, Jeremy Clarkson and the Graham Dwyer trial. And the Irish Daily Mirror, murder on his mind, front is again the Graham Dwyer trial. And also more on the One Direction story, more Graham Dwyer. Page 7, the Irish Mirror. I'm so glad to meet you, Hollywood star Russell Crowe delights fans in Dublin yesterday. Also, page 8 in the Irish Daily Mirror. Here's a story that wasn't in the rest of the papers. We covered it in news yesterday. Micheál Martin down, but definitely not out. Defiant Fianna Fáil leader and vowed to be at the helm for the general election. Micheál Martin yesterday claimed his party will beat the dismal poll ratings, and he's insisting he will lead them into the next general election. The Fianna Fáil leader faces a potential heave if they fail to secure a win in the Carlow Kilkenny by-election in May. Mr. Martin is also facing tough opinion polls results, with support at a measly 17% and only half of his party backing him. I wonder what way Fianna Fáil, are they behind him, or are they not behind him here in County Donegal? I remember interviewing Charlie McConlogue, Deputy Charlie McConlogue, in the past. He has always given his unwavering support to Micheál Martin. But I wonder, the Fianna Fáil councillors on Donegal County Council, do they back Micheál Martin? I've never heard them come out before and actually say if they do or not. Will he lead Fianna Fáil into the general election? What do the listeners think? Give us a text and let us know. Also in the Irish Daily Mirror, once in a blue moon, more on the eclipse. Also, we'll just go on through if we find anything different. Body of McGuigan sparring pal found. Gardaí probe into former boxer's death. Gardaí have launched an investigation after a one-time sparring partner of Barry McGuigan was found dead. Danny McAllister from the New Lodge area of North Belfast was discovered on a neighbour's premises in Waterford yesterday. The 54-year-old, who Belfast sources say was a top amateur boxer in his day and turned pro for a short period and trained with legendary Barry McGuigan, died. He fell off a wall, apparently, and Gardaí are now investigating if there was anything suspicious. Also, we'll go through anything else in the Irish Daily Mirror that we can find. Irish docs breakthrough in breast cancer testing. Patients avoid chemotherapy hell. A pioneering new breast cancer test carried out in Ireland has ended the need for chemotherapy in nearly 3 out of 5 patients. The breakthrough breast cancer test was used over 18 months in 8 hospitals here. In total, 583 patients took the test, and 339, or 59%, were able to avoid grueling chemotherapy. So that looks like that could be very positive. Just going through the papers, I can't see anything in any of the papers on today's national demonstration against water charges in Dublin, of course. Excuse me. There's many people from Donegal will be going. I think they're saying there's many busloads. Are you going to Dublin today? Text in and let us know. What is your opinion now on water charges? Has it gone stale? Are people still opposed to them? I know the government released figures during the week. 1.2 million people have now signed up. They're talking about there's going to be 20, 30,000 people at this protest today. I don't know if there's going to be that many. Won't be as big as the last one. I have my doubts. The last one in Letterkenny wasn't as big as the first one. There's obviously the concessions that Fine Gael and Labour gave for water charges have obviously worked for some people, not all people, but I think maybe the biggest protest will be when people pay for the charges. Are people going to pay? There's a lot of people I know who are not going to pay water charges, but they wouldn't protest either. So I think the real protest is going to be when people pay for water charges. Is water charges going to be enough to bring down the government? That remains to be seen. But anyway, regarding this protest in Dublin, I went out to Letterkenny Town Centre on Thursday night to ask a few people if they are going to the protest, if they are still against water charges, and just what is their general feeling.
We're part of a team that have organised buses to head to Dublin on Saturday to support the organisers of this protest against water charges.
Is there many buses from County Donegal going?
So far there's going to be four or five buses passing through Letterkenny alone. So that's covering the north of Donegal. And we're hoping for a few more will turn up on the day and we'll get all the seats filled or maybe get another bus organised.
There's a protest in Dublin on Saturday. Do you have any intentions of going?
No, not at all, no.
So have you paid water charges?
No, I've registered but I haven't paid yet.
Is your plan to pay?
It is, yeah.
Why?
Well, €2-3 a week for your water. Not a big price to pay.
And do you expect many people from Donegal to go to the protest on Saturday then?
To be honest, I don't know. I haven't even heard that it's on.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely travelling, yeah. As are all my family. Yeah, we're not paying it. We can't afford to pay it. So we can't give what we don't have.
Have you protested before?
Absolutely, yeah. In Letterkenny. And we've been in Dublin before as well.
So it's something you obviously feel very strongly about?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely. Can't afford to pay it, so we can't. You can't give what you don't have.
So there you go, a mixed reaction. Only I spoke to quite a few people. I know there's only three people there, but I spoke to a lot of people and it was all mixed reaction. Some people were saying it's only a few euro a week. Other people were saying they can't afford it, while other people were saying they will be protesting and they have protested to begin with. What's your feeling on it? Give us a text in 086 77 00 555. We're going to take a break. Coming up after the break, we're going to have Bernard McDyer from Blood Bike Northwest, who are one of the sponsors, or one of the charities who's going to benefit from the 10k this year. But we'll take a song and then we'll have a break. You're welcome back to the weekend edition. It's just gone past 10:30. Now in the studio joins us Bernard McDyer. Bernard is from Blood Bike Northwest. They're one of the charities who are going to benefit from the 10k charity and walk here in Letterkenny, the Northwest 10k charity and walk, which takes place on the 3rd of May. Bernard, good morning. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you for asking me in, Barry.
Bernard, just tell us first of all, what is Blood Bike Northwest?
Blood Bike Northwest is a charity that was set up just over a year and a half ago in Donegal. And what we do is we provide a service to the local HSE hospital in Letterkenny. It's an out-of-hour service where we would pick up packages, some blood samples, CD scans and different things, and transport them to hospitals in Dublin and Galway. This is a totally voluntary charge, a totally voluntary service. All our riders don't get paid for it, and we provide the service free of charge. The idea is that it prevents, or it may prevent the HSE from having to hire somebody late at night to make deliveries or something. We don't operate during the hours, which they have regular services working during the operational hours during the day. We would operate from 7 o'clock in the evening to 7 o'clock the next morning and at weekends.
Right. Is there, how many people work or are on the group then, the Blood Bike
Northwest? We have the Blood Bike group at the moment in Donegal is about 25 overall, and we would have 9 riders on call over the month. Yeah, so we average around 3 to 5 days, depending on just the way it works out with holiday and time off and different things.
So when you transport things like blood, so this is life changing. This could save someone's life, this service.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you know, times like you may have blood samples that have to be taken to hospital, to different hospitals, to get maybe an almost immediate reading. So they want it done as quickly as possible. So you, by using motorbikes, it provides you have a better opportunity to clear traffic, to get out of the town, or even on a run to Dublin, where you would have places like Strabane and Omagh and that, where you can get through pretty quickly.
Right, and when you're saying it's voluntary, I'm a wee bit struck by that. I just took it for granted that you should be paid, and this was just a no. job, which is actually voluntary. That's
we're all volunteer, riders. We don't get paid for it. It's something most people, all the people that are involved, are into motorbikes, so we like riding motorbikes. And the concept comes from England. It's been operational since the 1960s, and Ireland, I suppose, this is our fourth year with groups throughout Ireland. So there's groups all over Ireland. We link up with them. We use them. Any funds we gather within the local area stays within the local area. We use it to fund the bike, purchase fuel, insurance, tax, all the other things that's necessary to run that vehicle.
So all the volunteers in Blood Bike Northwest, they would have day jobs as well?
They would have day jobs, yeah.
So how do you mix the two? Like, do you sleep?
Yeah, we do sleep, yeah, yeah. You know, most people can work around it. Like, you don't go and call to 7 in the evening. And to be honest, since we've started, we never really have had very late calls, you know. I think probably the latest was probably get finished up about 2 a.m. or whatever, you know, back at bed about 2 p.m. Very right. cold. Back into the beside the nice warm bed and us frozen.
How often does the service be used then?
The service, while in the Northwest, the service may not be, you know, as busy as some of the other areas, like in Dublin and Galway, where they have a large load of hospitals. We would average between 12 and 15 calls per month. So it's quite a lot, you know. It's a big advantage, you know, and when we speak to people in labs and Letterkenny and doctors and that, they'd believe the service to be a great help to them.
And how long has the service been going?
We launched back in October 2012. 2013, sorry.
13. And who's the brainchild of it? Whose idea was it?
Well, I suppose I was the first to start it, and along with a few friends of mine. I've always been interested in different things, see it on the TV, and it's when I heard a guy in Galway talking about having started a group in Galway that I made contact with him. And Galway went, the group in Galway went a long way to helping us to set up as well, giving us the information, giving us the right contacts to make and talk to the people.
And I suppose your volunteers, the main thing is charity. The main thing is getting people to donate. And you're going to be benefiting from the 10K this year.
Yeah, we're one of the beneficiary charges from the 10K this year. To get part of the Northwest 10K is a great help to us, because we know it's such a large fundraiser and it raises a profile of all the charges involved. And it's got a county-wide appeal, and probably more nationwide appeal as well. So it gives you, as well as helping raise money, it also helps to raise your profile, and you're getting talking to people in different parts.
And that's vital, the profile as well. You do get a massive profile from the Donegal or the Northwest 10K. It's so popular.
and it gets a lot of publicity.
Yeah, it's very important to, in any charity, to keep the profile up, you know, because what it does is it allows you to talk to people in different areas. Like we would have, I would have regular phone calls from the Sligo General Hospital asking us why can we not help them? But I mean, it's up to every area to operate their own group. But they hear about us on the local radio, or we may have bits in the local paper or stuff like that there. They hear about us, so they ask the question. But we only operate in Donegal, and all the services we provide were in the Donegal area.
Do you think, is it harder for charities now with the recession? I suppose not everybody can afford to donate to so many different charities. Is it harder for charities, or when you're working on donations, is it a lot harder these days?
For me, Barry, or for our group, I suppose that's hard to answer, because we were never a charity when, suppose, people times were good. But the generosity of people are unbelievable. You know, we would have an annual collection day, a bucket collection day on the end of September every year since we started. And the generosity of people is unbelievable. Like, and we would find it's even if people are only throwing in a euro into a bucket, I mean, all the euros add up.
It's that every
and at the end
counts.
Of the day, if you come out with a bucket load of euros, you have a lot of money gathered at the end of the day.
And that's it. I suppose you'll be appealing for everybody to take part in the 10K. And I know, suppose I said to you before I came in, I says, I don't think I'll do the 10K this year. I don't think I'll be able. But then I forgot that you can actually walk it as well. So yeah, anybody can actually do it.
Well, the 10K is a great event. And now with the popularity of all the running and walking events that's going on around, suppose it's a national progression for all the people that's doing their 5Ks, their couch to 5Ks and all that there, to go that one step bigger, to go to the 10K, get the atmosphere of a lot of people around them. Like, they're chatting at around 3,000 people, so that's a lot of people. Mm. And with all the charities that are involved, they're coming in from all over. Donegal, is important that everybody goes out and supports whatever charity that's that they wish to support, because at the end of the day, the money goes to all the charities.
And that's it. I suppose I did the 10K last year, and the crowd, there was thousands of people, and everybody's having a good time. And it's good to promote the town as well, isn't it?
It is. It's very good for the whole county. Like, I mean, it's based in Letterkenny, but I mean, the people you're talking to are from all over Donegal and parts of Leitrim and Sligo as well. You know, they come from all over. It's got a name for itself. You'd obviously even a few people coming in from England and different places like that there to do it.
And applying now for the 10K, how do people apply?
I believe that you can apply online, and they also will have their office opened for the week before the 10K, so you can go down and apply. And I think down at the community centre, they set up a porta cabin like they've done every other year, just to get ahead.
And anybody wants to donate to your group after hearing this?
Well, they can contact us any time through our website or our Facebook page, and we have sponsorship cards. We are handing out sponsorship cards. We're giving them to friends, family, connections, supporters all over the county as well, and we're leaving them as many places. But remember that all the charities that are out there, if they're taking a sponsorship card of any charity, it helps all of us.
Yeah, okay, Bernard, thanks for coming in, and fair play to you. I didn't know you were voluntary. That's a great thing that you're doing. Well done.
Thanks,
Bernard. Thanks for coming in. Thanks.
Right, cheers, Barry. Went not too bad. I don't know where I am. Don't bother to show you understand, 'cause it's not like you did in the first place. And it's just my luck. Lollipops suck. She just don't get back for her book. No, she didn't exactly get what she came for. Well, I don't know who I am.
friends the same, but I'll claw your bloody eyes out if you ever come around again.
Welcome back to the weekend edition. It's just gone past a quarter to 11. Let's read out some messages first. What an amazing service these men are providing. What would HSE do if we didn't have volunteers doing such work? That's someone talking about our last interview, Bernard McDowell. What a great service they run. Fair play to Bernard. Also, best wishes to Kieran Sharkey and Nicola McDade getting married today from everyone in the Tiernanogue bar. Water is a gift from God. When Jesus changed the water into wine, he didn't pay for it. Why do we have to pay? Someone ringing in or texting in regarding water charges. But now on the show, ever fancied joining a Viking army? Well, now you can. I've seen loads of people, loads of my friends actually, sharing this on social media this week. Vikings, the series on the History Channel, need 8,000 extras for filming in Ireland. On the show, we have Keith Anderson now, who plays a part in the show, Vikings. Keith, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
No problem. Good morning to you, Bert.
So, Keith, 8,000 extras, what is this is going to be for a fight scene, or what's the story behind this?
Well, shooting, as far as I'm aware, this year we're starting early. We usually don't start till June. So I think we're actually going straight through to do two seasons this year. So they will need an awful lot of extras. Yes, mainly the bulk of it would be battle scenes and stuff like that. So there would be a bit of a boot camp training for those who don't have that kind of experience, you know. But especially there could be feature parts too, you know, if you're lucky enough, as I have been, to be in it from the start, to be kind of part of the main character's gang, if you like, you know, and... So then they'll keep you on.
I've seen a lot of friends of mine on Facebook yesterday sharing the link to this. Mostly guys who have beards too, so there's going to be a lot of interest in it.
Definitely an asset to have a beard. Definitely. I mean, the process for casting is pretty simple. They have one in Wicklow and one in Dublin. It's usually 2 days in Dublin, I think, in film base. I'm not sure of the dates this year. I think it's the 31st of March and the 1st of April, as far as I heard. But it's basically, yeah, if you have the look, I mean, obviously it's an asset if you have a beard and a bit of hair. You don't really have to have long hair, you know, because, I mean, there are other parts. You know, for instance, you know, if you could be a Saxon or whatever other enemy we'd be fighting. I can't really give anything away. they're looking for all sorts of people, and they're moving away from England now in season three. If you've been following it, they're going to France, so they're going into Europe. So more ethnic types would be, you know, they'd be able to use as well, not just the kind of Viking-looking people, you know. So, I mean, basically, when you go in, you fill in a form, which is sure you basic vitals and stuff like that. And if you've had any acting experience or, you know, martial arts helps because you've got those kind of movements. If you've got any kind of weapons training, if you've been in the army, that kind of thing really helps. But basically, I mean, the first thing that they'll do is take a photograph of you, you know.
8,000 extras, it's a lot of people. I know there's going to be a lot of interest in it, but it's still also, it's a lot of extras, it's a lot of places to fill.
It is a lot of extras. They will fill it. If you I walked past Filmbase last year on one of the casting days, and the queue was right, you know, from Filmbase in Temple Bar, and it was the whole of Temple Bar was, it looked like Woodstock, you know. It was just full of very hairy people and lots of blonde women, which was very nice. But so they do, I mean, they do usually get the book. They may put out a second call if they, if they're still in need later on in the year. But there is an awful lot of interest. I mean, the first couple of years, there was only, I mean, the bulk of the main kind of extras is only about 200. But for battle scenes, and I know for a fact there are a lot of battle scenes coming up in the next couple of seasons, they definitely need a lot, thousands actually, you know, for both sides, for both Vikings and, you know, as I said, whoever they're fighting against, or, you know. And then you also have other characters who are just basically, you know, villagers, monks, nuns in convents, monasteries, stuff like that. So, you know, there are an awful lot of parts to be filled.
And it could be an excuse for a lot of guys then to who can't grow a beard or who haven't been able to grow a beard because of work and stuff. It could be an excuse for them to do that now.
This is it. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that, which is quite annoying for the likes of us who have had beards since we were teenagers. But they do seem to be in fashion these days with the kind of normal people.
Because
the hipster look. That's it. I mean,
that's what they call it.
You get an awful lot of kind of bikers and, you know, heavy metal folk like myself.
Yeah, it's going to be, is it Wicklow and Dublin, the auditions are going to be?
Wicklow and Dublin, yeah. Film based in Temple Bar in Dublin, I believe the 31st of March and the 1st of April, and then the 7th of April in Wicklow. But you'll have to check that out on the social media. So it's,
How the popularity of the show Vikings, unfortunately, I've only seen one or two episodes myself on RCE, so I'm not really following it, but I do intend to. I've always found there's that many series at the minute. There's, you know, it's hard to watch two at a time. It's House of Cards I'm watching at the minute. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a big fan of House of Cards myself.
What part do you play? You've been in it for the first two seasons.
Basically, I would be part of it. It actually changed in season one. Most of it was set in the village, so I would have been on the side of Gabriel Byrne's character, Lord Halson, and basically just a kind of it was just most of that was just shut around the village. There wasn't much kind of action in that. Season two, we had a character, King Horik, played by Donald Logue, who is now in Gotham, the TV show Gotham, but who was a lovely guy. So I was kind of basically grouped in with his bunch of men. And all of those faces had been seen on camera an awful lot. So then leading into season three, we kind of had the same kind of faces. So, you know, you'd get a lot of callbacks. I mean, work-wise, it is hard work. It is very hard work. There's a lot of kind of hanging around and stuff like that. But there's also a lot of running up and down mountains. You know, for the camera, for several angles, and there's a lot of rain. It gets very cold towards the autumn and stuff. So, but I would certainly say anybody who has any kind of interest, you know, certainly to go over. The TV show, its popularity around the world is amazing. I mean, RTÉ show it here, they're like a year behind. So, and I know a lot of Irish people who really love the show and can't wait for it, and they usually kind of. They would stream it online directly from the History Channel. You know, they pay for the pay-per-view, you know.
And I think it's very similar. I think I'm right, or maybe wrong. But when they filmed parts of Braveheart in Ireland, remember they got loads of extras to film some of the fight scenes in that as well.
Mm. Yeah, in Braveheart it was a different story. It wasn't an open casting. The FTE used members of the FCA.
Right.
And those people were basically all FCA members. But you will see an awful lot of it kind of the same face. I've done extra work for a long time, so I've met people on set on Vikings who I worked with in King Arthur, the movie, or in Reign of Fire, the Tudors. You know, you'll kind of get regular extras who kind of, you know, pop up in lots of these kind of period dramas because of how their look is, you know. A few lads would go up and work on Game of Thrones then, you know. So, But Vikings, for me, would definitely be the main one. It's a great vibe on set. You make a lot of good friends, and the production crew are beautiful. As are the cast. The cast are wonderful, very fantastic, you know.
Yeah, and so I've just got a list in front of me. They're mainly looking for adults aged 16 plus, people from all ethnic backgrounds. You do not need to have an appointment. You only need to attend one day of auditions. Each person who attends will fill out an application and have a photo taken. The process will take roughly 20 minutes. So you don't even have to give up much of your time just to apply.
No,
for this.
You don't. 20 minutes. Most of your time will be spent in a queue trying to get into the building, basically. But once you get in there, they're very efficient. And you fill in your form, you go up, they'll give you a number. It's kind of like holding a police card. They'll take your picture and then they'll sort through everything.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, well, obviously there's a lot of interest, as I said. I've seen so many people sharing it on social media. I suppose for people like myself, Keith, who want to catch up on the show, where's the best place to go?
The best place to catch up on the show, I'm not sure whether you'd still kind of get it on the RTE player. Obviously, you can buy the box set. Or if you just go to the History Channel, it's a subscription fee, but you'll get all the seasons there.
Yeah,
and it's not too expensive, you know.
I'll have to check it out. Keith, thanks for joining us on the show.
Not a problem.
And
at all
the best for the fourth series. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Cheers.
Keith Anderson from the Vikings series. They're looking for 8,000 extras. They're going to be filming in Ireland. The cast or the additions are going to be in Wicklow and Dublin. As I say, they're mainly looking for adults aged 16 plus, people from all ethnic backgrounds. You do not need an appointment. You only need to attend one day of auditions. Each person who attends will fill out an application and the process will take roughly 20 minutes. When you go there, they'll take your measurements of your hand, your height, your chest, shoe size and all that. No need to bring a CV. There's a long list of specific skills and appearances they're looking for, including fishermen, carpenters, skilled swords people, bowmen, women, ship hands, Latin speakers, tree surgeons and meals. So 8,000 people, I would say there will be a lot of interest in that.